Kia ora koutou, nau mai, haere mai ki Kika. It's Auckland's comprehensive art show brought to you every Sunday night here at Planet FM 104.6 or planetaudio.org.nz if you're live streaming it. But you probably know that already because you'll be live streaming it and you'd know how to get there. But I'm just reminding you. I call Richard Green 10A. I'm your host for the next 90 minutes here in the studio with... was a host last week.
Yes, I was.
And now you've been demoted. Well, not demoted. You're just a very busy woman, and I'm really pleased that you're here because you went and saw the Samoan version of the Chairs at Te Pō.
Yes, I did.
Te Pō, this is the third of four.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
After Pākehā, Te Reo, and next week it's Cantonese.
Cantonese, which I'm hoping to get to see. I've been away, you see.
I'd actually quite like to see the Cantonese, just to compare.
Maybe you could be my date.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It would be interesting to see, because it's done in a cultural context as opposed to just a straight translation.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
I think they all are. They all have been done in a cultural context.
Have they?
Well, they're all bringing elements of the culture to way that it's been designed and set up.
Because it's based on the play by...
Ionesco.
Yeah.
She says Chairs. Knowledgeably.
You did.
Because she has got Wikipedia in front of her.
You said that with such conviction, Paula. But, well, did you miss me while I was away?
I did. I really did. But yeah. Georgia and I just muddled through.
I heard.
Really?
It was great, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. You did some good shows.
Thank you.
I was swanning around the country, actually. Well, I wasn't swanning. I had two children with me on a holiday. Holiday for them.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Not for the grown-up.
It's quite stressful, actually. In our hotel...
But you still had time to post things on Facebook.
Well, I did. The motel screwed up our booking, so we ended up, three of us, in a one-bedroom motel room for three nights.
What's a guy to do?
I slept in the single bed in the lounge, and the kids shared the double bed and the single bed.
Bless them.
And then they finally moved us into a two-bedroom, and I had an upstairs... Which was great. What didn't help is I'm doing Dry July, so that made it a little bit... I couldn't just retire and have a glass of wine and chill.
No.
I just had a cup of tea and continued to not relax. Tea doesn't have the same...
Tea does it for me.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, some people say that, you know, have a nice cup of tea.
Oh, God,
have
absolutely.
A nice cup of tea. That's what happens, eh?
Yeah.
It's an English thing, isn't it?
I think it must be.
Oh,
but
love.
I have got a Kiwi daughter and she's just as bad as me now.
Well, it's the heritage thing, though, isn't it?
It must be,
it's whakapapa.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because it's like, I mean, remember, you know, there's conversations of, oh, darling, Germans just invaded us. Oh, have a nice cup of tea, we'll sort it afterwards. Okay, do that. That's kind of it, eh?
It's kind of where we are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're leaving the European Union. Oh, we'll have a cup of tea and salt.
Oh, God, no, don't mention that. Please don't get me off on Brexit.
Theresa, can you get me a nice cup of tea? Sure, Boris.
Can you get me a nice trade deal?
Yeah.
No,
I'm just
not.
Having me tea. I'll sort it out afterwards. Oh, well. Well, we'll get to your review. We should introduce our guest.
Oh, let's, yeah.
Should we do that
yeah,
now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Do it.
So, I Ain't Mad at Char is the name of the show.
That's the one.
It's a rap
musical.
And in the studio, I've got Nahiriwa.
Kia ora tātou.
And I've got Ravi.
Hello.
And Jatinda.
Kia ora.
Welcome. The three... Are you the only three guys in the cast? Is this like a pop-up globe thing?
Oh, we're minus two.
Yeah, there's... altogether, there's six of us.
Oh, yeah.
Seven roles. Ravi doubles up and plays two roles because he's that great.
Wow.
He's
the spear carrier and the tree?
Definitely.
Spear-carrying tree.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that shows
all into one.
Versatility,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
there's six of us all together. Fairly diverse cast.
Brilliant. Us,
yeah.
And it's a rap music. So Hamilton's got nothing on you guys.
No,
is
of course
that?
No. We put in more work than Lin-Manuel could have ever considered. You know?
Yeah. He's not on our level.
We just really condensed that work, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it took him, what, sort of 10-ish years?
Yeah, yeah.
Just talking
about
a few weeks.
We just did it in a few weeks.
Yeah.
What's with that 10-year thing?
I don't know. I think that maybe he just procrastinated a bit too much, you know?
Maybe he just didn't care.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he had lots of money.
job.
Yeah. I'm paid to do this.
I hope he's not listening.
Please. Although,
I can see where this show's going to go tonight.
Well, I was wondering who you're going to review, because I was thinking, Emma, she's the musical theatre person, but it's not really musical theatre, is it, guys?
Yeah.
No, it's theatre with musical elements that have come from the genre of hip-hop.
Yeah. So, can you clarify for something for me? Being being a young'un, I'm quite young, and I miss that whole hip hop rap thing. What's the difference between hip hop and rap, or is hip hop a subculture of rap, or is it the other way around?
Understanding, it's hip hop is the culture, rap is an element of it that expresses the culture.
Right.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So hip hop would encompass a whole range of things,
like fashion, R&B,
fashion itself, the dance, all those sort of things, all those elements,
graffiti,
break dancing,
you know.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. It's a standalone culture on its own, hip hop. So a hip hop artist could be a musician or a graffiti artist.
Absolutely.
Or a poet or a slam.
Slam poet. Yeah.
Slam poet, eh? Because hip hop's quite big on slam.
Yeah, right. Sure. It's because slam is very rhythm driven, so is hip hop in a way, as well as rap. And all of these things have very strong poetry elements inside of them. Even hip hop dancing, which is very angular or whatever, this can still tell a story. You can still feel the heart, and I think that's like what hip hop is mostly about. It's like the heart of what you're conveying or what you're trying to tell someone. Yeah.
What are the origins of hip hop?
I think, from what I understand, it was from I think it was back in the 70s. There were DJs and MCs. DJs first were trying to move parties, and then I think it started in New York.
I wish I'd brought my notes.
People trying to move parties, so like they would grab an MC to get the party moving. DJ started, collaborating together with street dancers, and I should have brought some notes.
It came out from past the disco age. As that sort of
I love living in the disco right now.
Side of things and that, but. There was a bit of an evolution born out of the need to survive and the struggle to survive, which created a completely different subculture of its own. All those different elements came out.
There's a famous film made in the 80s.
Beach Street?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. I watched with my son, who's into hip-hop culture, and production values are pretty low, but it was a really good snapshot of the creation of hip hop and
is it a doco
those dances. No, it's a fiction. Talked about, and then Straight Outta Compton. That was a great film.
That changed the face of hip hop entirely. It became a completely new thing at that point. It became a little bit. It became raw. It was a really raw telling of people's lives, which. Which a lot of other people started locking onto to be able to tell their stories and tell their stories through the struggle, and the struggle came out in their lyrics.
It's going into social activism then.
I think you'll find that rap music as a whole has always been about social activism. Never been about what people want you to believe it's about. They want you to believe that it's about just being rich or just like doing all sorts of crazy stuff with exuberant amounts of money, but if you really dig into dig into it,
it's activism.
Yeah, it's activism. It's them finding.
I really haven't heard much rap at all.
Right.
What I'm aware of is it's bad, getting a bad rap.
It's getting
very sexist.
And
then it sort of gave birth to a new thing called conscious rap. Rap is what it became known as, and it was people who were telling their stories, their life stories about how things were really bad on their with their upbringings and how the man was sort of oppressing these people and stuff, and them they're feeling that anger and stuff, and that's what was coming out.
And that was quite Straight Outta Compton was set around that time of the Rodney King beating, profiling, and the riots and stuff. And that was reflection of what was going on. That's why I was quite angry, I think, at that time. That's what I got out of that film. Angry because they were angry.
Rightly so.
Absolutely. Hip-hop always does. It expresses the highest emotions of a community. And unfortunately, these communities are placed in really dire situations. So the music will reflect that. Like what you're saying, it's, can be quite sexist and stuff. But that's the same as any kind of music that has been released in a small community. Like, you look at some country music, lots of alcoholism and some real dark stuff. You know, Johnny Cash, he was coming at, going through some really dark times, you know, suicidal thoughts, drug-related issues. It's just because it has this visceral nature,
yeah,
and, you know, coupled with language, and that can be jarring. But when you listen to some of the words of these songs, and some of these, like what Nga was saying, conscious artists, when you really dissect it, they're telling really painful, beautiful, joyful, crazy stories.
Yeah, and if you think about a lot of music that have come through the ages, misogyny and all that sort of stuff is rife in it. Mm, it's just labeled differently, or it just sounds nicer to people's ears, so the people are able to take that and just sort of bypass what they think it means, but...
Yeah, country. Actually, now I don't like country music.
Neither.
I never have. It's the one genre I cannot listen to without smashing them doors.
Exactly. That song itself. It's like, if you think about that, that's not a very great, a good song. You know?
Sorry, I missed that, Robert. Do you want to sing it?
Baby, lock them doors and turn them lights down low. Like, what are you getting at, man? What do you really want from this exchange? Yeah.
Get out, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you have suggestions? This is quite a serious question.
Yeah,
if someone was going to start off with rap, what would be a couple of few artists that they should listen to get?
You should probably go around the table.
Yeah, I think everybody has
their own.
I think there's so many different types of rap nowadays that everybody can find a sort of niche. And even going back, like, if you ask somebody, what's your favorite 90s rapper? Everybody's got so many
different...
They got
their ones,
you know,
that they hold a torch for, right?
Cypress Hill.
I'm a bit of a 90s dude, you know? Yeah. But so a lot of my rap influences don't really change. The bro Ravi's been getting me into some new dudes, and I was like, whoa! It would be Nas's Illmatic album. Nas is a New York-based rapper. He made I think he was 17 years old when he made this album. A song on that will be called New York State of Mind, and it's just him rapping about the circumstances he's in. It's very, his flow, we'll say, is smooth, quick, and clear, the way he raps. Who else?
These
party?
All going to be on YouTube?
Spotify, for sure.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll just do three, eh? Three
songs. Yeah, yeah,
three, please. Yeah, please.
Yeah, if I want a party, then it's Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah, great choice.
Yeah. A little bit of Bone Thugs. You know, they're guys from, like, I think it was like the Midwest, who had that good relationship between East and West Coast rappers. They're one of the only artists to collaborate with Notorious B.I.G. and Tupac. Yeah, so I got a bit of respect for those fellas.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is anything local. And it'll be
Homebrew, bro.
Yeah, homebrew. Yeah,
homebrew, like, is local,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, homebrew.
Avondale rapper.
And anyone that's, like, the third one always changes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'd be like, it's like my flavor of the month or something that speaks to me now. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Would you like to go next, or...?
No, you go for it.
All right.
Let's go around the table.
Yeah. Okay.
Not that anyone can see.
Yeah.
And the table's also not round.
We're off to a great start.
Yeah. Omelette shape.
For me personally, a lot of the rap that I listen to is more new age because, I don't know, I'm not talking about mumble rap, because I don't think that that should be considered rap. I think it should be considered its own genre.
Yep.
Yeah, like pop rap or something.
It's not...
Just mumbling.
It's not the same, in my opinion. But my recommendations, I would always recommend... These are my, like, top three recommendations if people ask me, what should I listen to if I want to listen to rap? I would recommend Absol. It's called Control System. That album is called Control System, and it's, like, just his perspective of the world, or like this system that everybody lives in that controls them, or like that is put in place to keep you in place or put in place to keep you in line, and his perspective or his understanding of that. Then I would recommend listening to these guys. They're called Brockhampton. They dropped they dropped three albums last year. That's crazy to me, man. They just dropped three full length albums.
Oh.
It's called the Saturation Trilogy. Hit that up, man. Definitely hit that up. And My last album is this collab album between MF Doom and, I always forget the producer's name, I think it's Adlib, I don't know, but their collective name is Madlib, and they have this album called Mad Villainy. I think it's one of the strongest rap albums of all time.
It just comes that's with just the, how it is, the man. Fire album.
Maybe he should have gone last.
I mean, I did ask.
he was the climax of the.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here.
Those are my three.
I think.
No pressure.
If you're going to sort of ease into things, someone like quite old school, like Nate Dogg, not so much old school, but yeah, because they're real chill beats and stuff, and it's easy because he sings and raps, so it's easy sort of listen to get into that that transition into rap. I've been getting lately into a lot of the sort of modern day ones. Artists like J. Cole is another one really, really like and admire. There's this one song is Neighbours, and that song
Was incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry?
Neighbours.
And that's actually the music I'm talking about.
That's such a good hip-hop song.
But definitely.
Go Kylie.
But that song was he made that because he moved into an area which he thought was going to be better for him and his family and his crew and stuff, and then one day his house got stormed by the police, and he's got it all on video. He's got cameras and stuff, and they went searching through his house and things just to try and look for anything, and found out that his neighbours had been sort of bringing this to the police's attention and stuff, and so he just created this thing. And it's like, you know, the whole thing is like, well, they must be thinking because I'm black, I'm selling drugs, so that's why we got called. Mm. And so, yeah, that's a nice one for me. And I'm right on the Kendrick Lamar buzz right now. Yeah, I just saw him.
I've actually heard of one now.
And that's why I'm
right there.
No, are only in your 20s, and you probably missed a lot of this stuff.
Too busy.
It's an interesting thing that you mentioned about the mumble rap stuff too. I think a big thing that they've done really well is that I was looking this up too, and it's the whole triplet.
Where
they just nail it, and it just changed.
I can talk more about that if you
the
want.
Whole so changed the sound completely. And it was
So mumble
can you give
rap,
us an example?
I can describe it to you.
Okay,
and I can give you an example.
But
so
you can look it up. Migos.
There's like Migos is it's like this thing they call us the Migos flow, but it existed for ages.
Can I just say that Ravi just did the air quote?
Yeah, it is air quote on the radio, guys. Migos flow. It's the
air
quotes.
Radio.
You can hear the quotes. Can you hear them?
It's called the Migos flow, and it sits inside of the triplet or the hi-hat of a beat instead of on the bass.
Yeah.
So, like, old-school rappers, they'd be like, da-da-da-da-da. Yep. They're, like rapping against the treble or whatever. But these new guys, they're like, da-da-da-da, 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 because they're rapping inside of the hi-hat. That's what they're rapping against. So that's why mumble rap is, in my opinion, a different... It's like a different place of rap. It's a different subcategory, and you should never... ever be like, this mumble rapper is on par or like comparable to somebody who doesn't do mumble rap. It's completely different. It's like
apples and oranges.
Exactly. You wouldn't be like, I'm eating this orange, this is the best rose fucking apple that I've ever eaten in my life. Exactly.
I get that. I'll tell you my favorites, eh?
Please.
Well, I'm a bit old school, so I was a baby during the 80s.
Yeah.
And Notorious Big.
Of course.
Cypress Hill.
Definitely.
It's gone out of my head.
The bong.
Well, that, you know, just that rhythm.
Yeah.
It's the rhythm that I was attracted to about that music.
Yeah.
You know, it was just really good, strong rhythm and consistent and don't in the, love it.
It puts you in that zone.
It does. And I use it when I do a workout. Cypress Hill, and it'll just really get you there better than anything else.
Hell yeah.
But also I came across A Colour. Yeah, you talk about conscious rap.
Yeah.
Akala is he's an author, poet, political activist from England.
Wow.
And he talks about issues, but he does it in a way he reaches out to young people, so he tries and avoids swearing and stuff, so parents can let them listen to the albums.
He drinks tea as well. He's an
addict. Probably does. Yeah. I'm just going to go out and kill someone, but first of all, just have his cup of tea.
Yeah.
Leave the milk because I'm going to get dangerous.
Yeah. And don't even think about the sugar.
Oh, you don't want no sugar on this, son.
No sugar.
Yeah, where's those kids who are correct?
Yeah, they don't know how hard it is without sugar.
How do you spell Arcala? Is it like
Akala, A-K-A-L-A.
Oh.
And he's, my son actually introduced me to him. We were watching something, there was a session in a freestyle session in a booth.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
And,
they
just rap.
Yeah.
You know, freestyle. It's just amazing. Stuff. He was really good. I really liked him, so I started playing his stuff. And again, you know, it's quite politically challenging and pushes boundary. I love it. It's fantastic. That's Akala's a good one too.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, but Cypress Hill, if you want to get down, Paula.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Or even someone like George Watsky, who's a poet, but he writes raps and stuff, and his flows are really easy to get into, and they're really cool, but definitely conscious rapper too. Like,
Run DMC too.
Yeah, for sure.
Immortal Technique, if you just want to sit and listen to a guy just spit some crazy awesomeness.
Yeah, right.
What do you think of Eminem coming up through that?
Awesome.
I think he's awesome.
Yeah.
Because he got a lot of stuff.
He definitely got a lot of flack.
For being
but the
white
best
guy
in the game at the time were like, he's just that good.
Because
hip-hop precedes all, you know, colour, race, gender. Yeah. Because there are guys like Rakim, who's known to be a good, you know, rapper, MC. There's a difference between MCs and rappers, I reckon. But he was supposed to be a really good one, and he holds Eminem real high. And there's a lot of people that hold him up there. There's no one that does it like he does. Yeah. And that generation, you know? But then you got new cats like Hobson coming out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Brockhampton, who are just... Ooh.
What seems to be... We're doing a bit of a pop-up globe here. What seems to be missing is women.
Yeah. Mm.
So female, is it big for women? And I mean, we talk about misogyny and sexism and violence.
It's coming up more and more of a thing nowadays.
Yeah.
And I'm very for it.
Cardi B's like nailing it. I mean, there were always... there were some really, really good... Like solid rappers like
Missy Elliott.
Lil Kim, all this really solid rappers and stuff, and I'm just stoked that now people are getting the women are getting there.
I would really recommend No Name, another female rapper.
Yeah.
Hip hop artist.
What's your name?
No Name.
What?
Yeah, No Name.
You're not allowed to know it.
Is that like Sia? You know, she hides her face.
In a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not about names, so.
Yeah.
And I recommend her.
It's also cool.
Soul Chef, this dude, he produces the beats for our show. The album, Jatinder the Bro, Jatinder was showing me.
Yeah,
the album actually.
Foreign Affairs.
Yeah.
It's got people rapping in Colombian. There's this female rapper rapping in her own language, and it's just amazing.
Like beautiful to listen to.
Yeah, beautiful to listen to. And there's a few tracks on the song. I think half the playlist is done by female vocalists, female rappers.
So, yeah, it's on the rise, bro. They're finally getting all the stuff they need.
We had a guy last year in the studio who came from Guam.
Wow.
Where there are about 6 or 7 fluent speakers in the native language, and the Americans, it's a colony of America, and they were allowed to vote in the election, but their votes weren't counted.
I heard about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's over here. He's over here promoting the language, and he's promoting it through rap.
That's wonderful.
And he sat in the studio rapping, and I don't know what the name of the language is, but in his native language, and he said,
"Wonderful.
It's dying, and the only way we're going to get that language back is by
music, bro.
Is by music.
Yep.
Which is
music is universal.
Yeah. Hey, you mentioned Soul Chef, so let's play a track, because you use it in the
yeah. This is actually a track from the soundtrack to our play.
Yeah.
It's really cool to let us use his stuff.
Yeah.
And the stuff's quite easy to listen to. It's not really harsh, but it's uniquely his and uniquely ours now. In such a way, because
sweet. Yeah. So how did you get to use his music? Have you got a connection with him?
Yeah, he's an old high school mate of mine.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Just casually, from way back in the day, and when this play came along, he was the first person to come to my head. I was like, oh, what if the bro's got any music? And he's like, yeah, sweet, just use it. I was like, oh, okay. And he's been doing this since we were 13.
Mm-hmm.
So he's about the music.
Yeah, he's all about the music. Yeah. He doesn't do appearances. He's not into interviews. He just like lets his beats speak for themselves.
And this is an instrumental.
Yes, most of it, nearly all his albums are instrumental. He'll have one or two on Spotify that have artists on it, but yeah, mostly instrumentals.
Sweet. So listen, this is called Spanish Guitar.
Yeah.
From Soul Chef. Big fan of Spanish guitar anyway. Flamenco guitar is just amazing.
Yeah, it is.
But also that sample, that voice reminds me
of something.
Yeah,
Soul Chef, or aka Sean Hopkins. He's going to hate me for saying his name, but that's okay.
We can go back and delete that later.
He, from when I remember when we were at his house in school, in the school days, he was always looking at old Motown records, Michael Jackson, Aretha Franklin, Wendy Reen, and just a whole lot of blues and soul, and because those are the actual, well, for me personally, those are the roots of hip hop. You know, they come from blues music, soul, jazz,
funk, rock,
funk, all of those things integrated into one to grow into hip hop. His influences are all of those, and I've had people go, "Hey, that sounds like this thing." I'm like, "I don't know, it's a cool beat." But yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah. Sweet.
It's also an album. Yeah, his new album is called Native Affairs. And a lot of the artists are from places like Colombia, New York, I think from LA. Yeah, they're just all over the show. And the first track is pretty, actually, pretty good. Yeah.
Next to Nothing. Next to Nothing. That's what you had to pay to go and see the Chairs.
I know. Jumped to the chance.
That segue.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Boom.
As a reviewer, I had to work on that one.
Otherwise, rambling. Say,
Au revoir.
Yes, so I went to see the Samoan version and thoroughly enjoyed I did enjoy it, actually. One of the things that I was most struck by was that the place was packed.
Mm. Wonderful.
Awesome. There were babies, there were little kids, yeah. There was old ladies, awesome. They were all there, yeah. And I think virtually great. Every week on this show we talk about how can we get people to support their local theatre, mm. And I think this is the
nailed
way to
it.
Do it,
yeah.
They've
yeah.
absolutely nailed it, they yeah. need to just, you know, more. Carry on doing yeah, it, yeah, carrying yeah, on more. Doing it. I'm sure there were plenty of people in there who wouldn't normally go and see a live show. Yeah, you know, yeah. But they went because it was in their own language. Yeah. So I'm not fluent in Samoan, obviously. I actually really regretted my friend's little girl is in an immersion unit at Ko-Fi, and I thought, oh, I could have brought her, mm. you know. Mm. I just have that thing, that, you know, thing, oh, theatre, it's going to be on at night, there's not going to be little kids. But of course, why not? Mm. Why not, little kids? Anyway, so the big question is, did I understand any of it? Personally, no, I didn't understand. I didn't even pick up any words, and I think if in the Terea one, I would have picked up words. But it was done so well. It's an incredibly wordy play. It's not like there's a few words here and there and the rest of it is physical theatre. Mm. They talk so much, this old couple. Mm. But the old woman in particular is completely hilarious, the person playing the old woman. I say person because I'm actually not sure whether it was an actor or an actress.
Yeah, right.
Yep, yep.
But as soon as they made their entrance, everybody started laughing. There was the classic, you know, island old lady, you know, kind of stroppy and wearing lots of layers
trope.
And it really was. Everybody loved her as soon as she walked on.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, it became a lot more physical, and that's when they're getting all the chairs out and they're, you know, and
becomes hysterical.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really funny. And I'm thinking, how are they going to do the suicide at the end? But they didn't. Oh, my God.
Oh.
But they did. But it's not necessarily in
get
there.
A dead one out.
Because it didn't feel like that, you know. And at the end, there's a big thing where there's one actor comes on and does something, and they did it really, really well. It was done incredibly well, and it had a really, really big impact. If you go and see the show in Cantonese next week, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I think that it was a very sparse design with kind of Pacifica prints. You know, they did it really simply and did it really well, and it was very much based on the two actors carrying it. It's an hour long. I sat there pretty much engaged and entranced right from the word go. I was getting a few weird looks, actually, because I was in a row where that nobody sat on one side of me or the other side of me. So I kind of thought there was a few other blondes in the audience, but not that many. I think the looks were, are you understanding what is being said? You know what I mean? Do you actually understand what is being said? And I just was very, you know.
Well, apparently even the English version anyway, the original, why Italian, it doesn't make any sense anyway.
It's absurdist.
Piece, isn't it?
Yeah. It's absurdist. Yeah. But I enjoyed it. I loved it. I thought this is the future. Basically, is to put stuff on in people's own language.
Aye. Yeah.
And it was such a kind of, there was such a great atmosphere. Everybody was having a great time. So I really enjoyed it. And I'd recommend that you go and see the Cantonese.
Mm. And you saw the Te Reo?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know a lick of Te Reo, but I do recognise theatre techniques.
Mm.
And, the two actors that played their roles were just amazing because there's certain tropes, and I go, oh, yeah, that's like a commedia dell'arte trope or something. But because they were so precise with what they were doing, you saw story through physicality really, really nicely displayed. But there was also some nice truth. There's just moments within the show where you go, I don't know what they're saying, but I understand what they're going through.
Yeah.
It was good to watch. It's a fun time, and I think the Māori version took place at a porphyry because it's an old couple trying to get chairs and to, you know, accommodate people. They're talking about the guests, and they're talking about, I guess, this is me just guessing from what I saw, memories of who's coming and why they're coming, and then the escalation is where the comedy is, but mm-hmm. staying true to those escalations, the actors did really well. Like, you knew it was going to get more absurd, but they played it more truer and truer and truer. And they got deeper into the craziness, and then you're just like, oh, this is actually awesome.
Yeah.
You weren't going, yes, it's absurd, but I'm dealing with it because there's a context of absurdity put there. Where you go, oh, there's gonna, of course there's going to be more chairs. Which one is it? Oh, it's a sofa. Yeah. Oh, great, they're going to pull that in, and then this and then that. And, no, it was, I really liked it.
Mm.
More of that. I want to see more, like what you were saying.
Yeah.
More theatre, different
and
languages.
That's the wonderful thing about Te Pau, is giving the opportunity for te reo. There should be more te reo theatre in Aotearoa anyway. I mean, it's an official language, and it's, you know, it's just slammed out. It's a whole show by itself, really, isn't it? But
Well, this is part of diversity, you know, the diversity thing of this is diversity. But I thought, well, you know, I work in disability arts, and so you can think, well, there's a way, you know, why is it always so separate? Mm. You know, why could that not be under, you know, if people are looking at putting on a diverse festival, then there's other forms of diversity other than just cultural diversity.
Mm. Yeah.
And the sad thing is that you actually have to make an effort to put it on, and it stands out as something different as opposed to something that we just do by a norm.
Yeah,
a country.
It's a different thing on today. You're like, no, it's actually part of everything.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a bit more fun into quote
you know, got them again.
And so we eliminate diversity as a thing where it just becomes normal, because we need to get to that level, and I think that's all we're going to do with our crew, where we're just like, everyone just to be true, real, tell some dope stories.
Well, we're going to hear about your dope stories. We haven't actually talked about your production yet.
It's called
Hamilton, eh?
This is another
sound.
Oh, that's a classic, classic sound from Cypress Hill.
You'll hear that in our show. And you'll recognize it. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of sounds. run out the door. It's going to be dark. Yeah. And then, you know.
He's not going to come back. Take him out. Paula, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And
look, if you can't get a date, I'll go with you to the Cantonese.
Fantastic. That's
cool.
Great. Because I haven't seen I wanted to see all four of them was my plan, but
that
I was
would
away
have been
for
a
all
great
three of
thing
them.
To do.
Yeah.
I think that would be, actually, if they do it again, that would be something that would be great. You could get a discount.
I think they offer discounts.
For four tickets. Four shows.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's like that, but the you know, the next, if you come the next night, it's cheaper and stuff like that. So,
brilliant
marketing.
Kia ora, thanks.
Good
have a good Sunday night. And
thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm just going to go and
much.
Have a
cup of tea.
It's
a bit late. It's a bit late for a cup of tea.
It's never too late.
It's never too late for a cup of tea. Any tea in your show?
No.
Do you reference tea at all?
We do.
We could.
Yes.
There is a reference. And it's in that sort of context too, where it's like,
You would have one, eh?
You should just have a cup of tea and settle down rather than doing what you're doing.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So it's a cross-cultural norm, isn't it?
Yeah.
Totally. So keeps you sane, mate.
Let's drive you like. Let's go back a step.
Mm.
Whose idea was it to do a rap musical?
Wonderful.
It was a young writer named Taurine Jones.
Mm.
She started writing this. It was for a paper she did at university, wasn't it?
Yeah. She was doing a writing course, and one of the modules was a musical, and so everybody else in her class was doing musicals, and she is a huge hip-hop fan, huge rap fan.
Mm. Yeah.
And she just said that she was listening to rap and just thought, why don't I just write a scene? Why don't I just do this? And then she did. And then her lecturers jumped on it and went, you need to
push
make this
forward.
Bigger. You need to expand this and make it something, which they did. So she got a whole lot of people backing her at that point, which
and
eventuated
then we came
into
along.
This.
Yeah.
Do you like musicals as a genre?
I do.
Okay to say no on this show.
It's sometimes. Like, there's some classic ones, like West Side Story, because I went to high school. Well, when I went to high school.
Because I
went
like
to high school. West Side Story. Oh, good
West
one, Jacinda.
Because I went to high school.
Let's rewind that.
Jacinda, when you were at high school, were you into musicals?
No, but they played that for us. It was one of the electives. You go, art, drama, music. And I was like, oh, yes, and music. And they played West Side Story, and I was like, holy heck, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, some cool singing and cool themes that were running through it. So, yeah.
I did quite, like, I think I did four musicals at high school. I like personally, I love singing, I love performance, so you'd think that I'd love musical theatre, but it's all right. I think it's all right.
Yeah.
I think there are better forms.
like ours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a variety across musicals.
Yeah,
isn't
there?
You know, we have a big a thing on Kick Arts about whether you like musicals or not. We ask guests, because I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when people start bursting into song to describe their lunch and stuff, or, you know, it's kind of...
I think it's funny. I love it.
But
it's
in a
so
serious
great.
In a serious scene, it just goes, yeah, crack up. It's like...
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I got my coffee. Jesus Christ.
I'm not a big fan of that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I got onto them because I...
Sorry, Jesus, not cheeses.
Jesus.
Sorry, you just killed me.
I just want to go back. You talked about West Side Story. Do you know Natalie Wood, who played in the original, in the film? Natalie Wood was married to a guy called Robert Wagner. And it's just come out that her sister, because she died mysteriously on a boat in 1989, and it's just come out her sister thinks that Robert might have
Mr.
pushed
Wagner,
her.
Mr. Wagner, right?
Oh,
check it out, guys. Check it out. Just Google Natalie Wood killed by husband.
All right.
She was the lead in the film in West Side Story. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So back to cheeses.
Yeah, yeah.
Good old cheeses, you know.
You were saying you didn't
Holly
like Jesus Christ Superstar?
No, I'm not a big fan of that one.
Yeah? Rock, so that's a rock opera as opposed to a musical.
I think a lot of the writing is lazy. I think, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it is in that. I think... That's the one I don't really like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's one I do. That's
Wow.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Do you like Oklahoma?
No.
No, Showboat? those are the ones that really irritate me.
Yeah, right.
Although there was a production of JC that I did like, and it had Tim Minchin in it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was just more of it was just them doing the music and stuff. Mm. I don't know if that was the actual show, but it was them doing the music and they had a small set and everything. Well, not a small set, but it just seemed a little bit scaled back, which I enjoyed at that point.
I was raised on the film. That's what
Tim
Healy, which, and he's got an amazing voice. And the guy, I can't remember who played Judas Iscariot, has got an amazing voice. And it's just, the singing was great. I always wanted to sing that song in the show, but I never had the voice for it.
Oh, that's a bit heartbreaking.
I'm the same to it. Voice, no.
Because
it's a whole different... Because they're operetta, right? There's musical, there's operetta, and you've got to have that kind of vibrato. And
exactly.
Yep.
Another thing I don't like about musicals.
Yeah. Can't do it.
Hip-hop, but a hip-hop musical, is it going back to the started at the university? She wrote a scene, developed it. So this, because this is a reprise of the show, isn't it?
Yeah. Second time through.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When was it first performed?
Last year's Matariki season at the basement.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, yeah.
Like, we're upstairs.
Pretty much upstairs, 60 people seated, and it was just us having like
a ball.
A laugh.
The best time ever,
you know?
Or just getting together and like, oh, we're doing this really cool thing that everyone really likes, you know, we really like each other, let's keep doing it.
I think that's like one of the most important parts of the show is that although it deals with some very serious topics like a lot of like societal stuff, the most important thing is that we're having fun.
Yeah.
Because if we're not bringing the fun for you, what's the point?
Yeah.
Is that the same with any piece of theatre?
It should be.
It should be.
Even if it's a tragedy or something,
fun and serious.
Yeah, I think people get really caught up. Sorry, people get really caught up in that, like, this has got to be a tragedy, or this has got to be real sad, but we, like, you play against in a way almost because we're like, it's fun, it's serious.
Yeah, yeah. Drop the serious.
And then you're like, it heightens how serious it can become because
the fall is huge.
Yeah, you're like, whoa, oh, I wasn't ready for it to be serious right now.
Yeah.
And you get
pulled. You need balance too, man. Like,
but that's like life, you know?
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, well, we had four weeks of rehearsals.
That's the fun with the serious.
Yeah, we had 4 weeks of rehearsals last year and we... played around most of that.
We
hardly ever really settled into the real serious stuff. We just sort of played around and worked on our connections and worked on our relationships between each other rather than anything. So then when we got onto the stage, we just had each other's backs.
Created a community. Like, we always checked in with each other, made sure everyone was all good. Then just
play some silly games and call each other names and then have a laugh and then, of course, do some lines and rehearse and
learn how to rap.
Block scenes.
Did you have to learn how to rap?
Oh, yeah. Rapping, it's not something that's natural to everyone, I don't think. Yeah. I think that if you're good with rhythm, then you have like a step up on somebody else, but it's not something that you're going to just pick up. You actually have to put in lots of hours. Lots of people think that you can just write a rap and you're done, man. But like rappers, they put in 10,000 hours. They put in as much as every other profession.
10,000 just to get it right, man.
Exactly. Yeah. 10,000 just to get that good verse, man.
There's cats I know like that are local rappers. Like there's one dude, he's been working on the same verse for like 4 years or something. He goes, it's just not ready. It's not ready. And there's a lot of people. It's like any musical craft, you know. You take it serious. You put everything into it. And I've got to give it up to these boys because, like, everyone in the crew.
Yeah, right? Man.
Everyone, when the raps were there, everyone just looked at it and I was like, oh, how do we...
So, Jatinder, you're the director,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
So how did you grab that role?
Just the sis hit me up, good old Sian, our friend and executive producer, hit up me and Nga for a workshop to workshop the play, put it through some steps, and she goes, would you like to direct it? I went, it's a rap play, yes. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing, but yes. I've acted heaps. I was like, all right, it's just telling people what I think might be the way to move this boat, you know? And so, yeah. And just hit up all these dudes. I was like, oh, we're doing this rap play. And they're like, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, I'm in.
It was all
so
organic.
Were you all together last year? So it's the same crew?
Yeah. Minus two.
Yeah, there's a couple of people that weren't available this time around. Which is a bit sad, but, I mean, that's the nature of the business, really.
Yeah, well, you got to roll with the punches.
For sure.
Yeah. Duck, slip, weave, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys are boxers as well?
I like boxers.
Yeah.
Just a Tinder, if we're playing up, then buck.
Yeah. It's mostly I just thought.
Is he good to work for?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, for sure. Now ask him when he leaves. It's cool because Jatinder is an actor as well. Like, he approaches everything from an actor's perspective, so it's not just someone who just tells someone to go and do something. It's like, well, you as an actor, you need to find out what this means for you and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it really helps coaching that sort of stuff and working on making sure that our relationships are strong because that's a vital thing on stage for anything.
Another thing I find is that Jatinder really pulls for truth, and I think that that's like was really important for this play and as a whole, because it is a truth in a way. It's a truth for a lot of kids that don't get to see this on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
They think that their lives go unnoticed and stuff like that, but it's a truth, and we have to really play for that truth. And that's something that really resonated with last year. Sorry,
is that what you don't have to apologize to me? I want you to talk.
Yeah.
What's the premise that you're talking? You've mentioned a few times that, you know, there's some challenging issues and it's about a journey. So what actually is the premise of the piece?
I guess it's the day in the life of a boy dealing with the issues under the context of dealing with racism and how he's been treated as a Māori boy growing up in Gisborne. What he sees, the only way he could express it is through hip-hop. It's basically that. But then there's also these other struggles.
It drops on the whole the notion of institutionalized racism.
And more specifically.
And what is, air quotes, subtle racism. Because everybody knows, everybody seems to know what racism would look like. It tends to look like white versus brown, but then we sort of, this show will address what it looks like as a brown person versus a brown person. Which is something that isn't really addressed at all by anybody. And
it's an absolute reality.
Usually put aside as a joke or something. You know, it's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
But those effects and where that stems from, you know, what colonization has done and what the effects of colonization is on modern youth.
The othering, you know.
Yeah.
And the way that racism that is shown to you, the way that you deal with that racism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where, like, if somebody calls you some horrible racial slur, how that impacts you and how you take that anger and what you use, you know, and what you give back to the world.
And I go back to that conversation about the music of the 80s being really angry because that's where everything exploded, didn't it?
Exactly.
Really, there was that stuff happening.
It was an awakening. Almost where everybody was like, we've had enough.
Yeah.
And thankfully for some people, that manifested in music and art rather than in
it's a
violence.
Way to
exactly.
Yeah. When people try and stifle art for being art, for telling the truth, that's when they're going wrong, you know?
Agree.
And that's what happens, you know, when there's a revolution. Governments try and suppress the artists first and foremost and the academics because they're the ones with the information and reaching people.
They're the people that people listen to, man.
Russians did it, man. Like, you know, Anton Chekhov and Stanislavski back in the day, you know, writing plays about Russian oligarchical oppression. And that's happens everywhere, so...
Yep. And it continues. I was at a conference on the weekend. Yeah, it was the last weekend. And a speaker talked very much about that, about Māori youth in the education system in New Zealand. And the fact that colonisation still impacts because of attitudes that are ingrained.
100%.
It's almost like a brainwashing.
Yeah,
100%.
You're accepted to treat people this way and be treated this way. But then, like what Ravi is saying, there's the way you deal with it, people don't deal with it, and then there's an outward manifestation of problems, either it's your activity in your environment, the way you treat other people, because you're seeing it as the norm, to be different, and it's like, no, we're all just people with beating hearts, you know, just trying to get through this damn ball.
I make a controversial statement sometimes to these workshops around racism.
Yeah, yeah.
The one comment I make is... that New Zealand is a monocultural society and people can't get their head around that. People can't understand that we are monocultural.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, the way that everyone expects everything to happen is in a very much in a Pākehā way. And it's particularly tough for Pākehā to look at that.
So
Nobody wants to know that nobody wants to know that they're in the wrong. Or that they're the problem, or they're part of a problem. You know, it's easy to point the finger at someone else. So.
I'm
not that guy. It was that dude 50 years ago.
That's
our argument.
Do you get in the last season? Did you get many like a diverse audience coming along?
Of many places coming in to see it. I had a Polish friend come in and talk about how it was really relatable, which blew me away. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And then a few American friends and said, "Yeah, this is really, really relatable to what we've gone through and people that I know what they've gone through and stuff." So, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean,
you don't have to like rap to like the show.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because like, rap is just a device that we use to tell the story. Yeah. It's not the ethos of the show or anything.
No.
Yeah.
And I feel it's like the best vehicle to use to tell this type of story.
Me too.
It's like the fifth element of hip hop we're trying to create, because you got MCing, breakdancing, turntabling, and graffiti. I think theatre can fit into that and use all of those things and push.
Bring it all together, man.
Bring all those elements together succinctly. And this is more like not a rap musical, it's more like hip hop theatre.
A hip hop theatre. I like
that.
I think you've just created something there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Maybe that's how we've got to advertise it from now on, guys.
It's a
hip hop theatre show.
Hip hop theatre show.
I'm going to write that down so I make sure I put that in.
Hip-hop.
I'm going to start hashtagging those.
Well, there you go.
Straight up.
Revelations were had today.
Yeah, man.
It's a creative process.
Every day.
So,
or a day.
You said you weren't hip hop, you had to learn hip hop.
Well, no, we had to learn.
Or rap.
I mean, okay.
Can you I'm just going to throw these at you. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Do it, man.
Do it.
Do some freestyling.
Okay. Do you have a beat or should I just go?
I don't know. I'm the Pākehā guy.
Okay.
Oh, man. Can you just rap over that beat you played in the break?
Spanish guitars.
Yeah, yeah. Or this one, eh? Chuck it on, bro.
Chuck it on. I'll find that a piece of music again and see it again.
I have a go, eh?
Yeah, you always have a go.
It's because it's my favorite thing.
Yeah, man.
Here we go.
That's how we roll.
Get it, bro.
Get it.
Okay. Can I swear? Okay, hold on.
Get it.
Yeah.
step back before I pull out my lyrical gat. Aim that motherfucker at your head and go blap, blap. Lazy as fuck, that's all I hear. Living your lives shaped like pears. Like Tendoka, I got you stumped. You ever ask your girl about the first guy she humped? Nah, I'm just kidding, I could never play that villain. I ain't even sorry, sent your brother straight to heaven. In 97, Big Papa was killed. In 99, your fate is sealed. Now you better go make sure your girl ain't busy, cause she about to get in the motherfucking dizzy. You got a small dick, slow it, can't handle shit. Your rhymes are weak, bro, and we all fucking know it. Yup, and you're about to show it. So what you gonna do, you little gangster? No, you ain't nothing but a little prankster. No, you ain't nothing but a little wankster. So what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Or what you gonna do? Nothing but, oh, your talent size small. My brain's notoriously bigger than yours. On to the next, your ex hollering at me, bro. That bitch is bigger than a cowry tree. Tell her to flee, cause she can't handle the hammer. After the tic-tac in my pants that you gave her. Fuck, go back to that valley. On the springboard the white man gave ya.
Okay, that's all I got, man. Somebody else.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, that was good in his hand. Yes, yeah. He's just gone. That was
That's the one, Rob.
So does that just come? Does that just come into your head?
Well, okay. If I'm going to be honest, I think I worked on that one a little bit, but
heaps bit.
Yeah, like quite a bit. But it had to come from my head to begin with, you know.
Yeah.
And
come from the truth, bro.
Yeah, exactly. And I find that freestyling is a really good way to relieve stress or tension in your life, because you can just be angry about whatever you want to be angry about and just yell about it if you really wanted to.
It's a vent?
Yeah, it's a real good vent.
Yeah. Do you do it by yourselves?
Yeah, I do it in the shower all the time, bro. Yeah. Just play, like, everybody's got their own beats that they like. Mm. I personally like to listen to lo-fi hip-hop because it's, like, smooth and it's calming. And it's a juxtaposition for me because I have these, like, smooth, calming beats, and then I just aggressively rap them on top of them.
Yeah.
I like
it's like, oh, I like the sound of this. Boom!
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man.
But you definitely, Iron Manager taught me that it doesn't matter what you're rapping, what you're like saying, because if you rap it with confidence, people are gonna like it, man.
Yeah.
It's about the beat and the,
exactly,
the rhythm.
It's about the heart, man.
I mean, the ownership you guys took last year of the rapping from going, we don't know what we're doing, we got these words on the page, and we just had this open room where it was like, all right guys, we're just gonna write some bullshit for 3 days. We just did every weekend, just figuring out, okay, what can we run, what can we work on, what are we trying to say, and the boys would just go away and just destroy it.
If you have an idea of what you want to say, it becomes easier. And I think that a lot of people take rap for granted because they don't understand that that person sat down and they thought about what they were going to rap about for hours and hours. There was no one that was like to Eminem, hey man, you know that Slim Shady song, here's your hook, now go and write these verses, he made it.
He's an incredible storyteller.
One thing
I love about Eminem is he tells us, his songs tell a story every time. And you listen and
so
you get caught up.
Get
caught up. I love that the song about, I can't even remember the name of it, about the fan.
Stan, that gets me every time.
Yeah, you know, you think that sad, you know, people admire, put people up on pedestals and expect them.
Exactly.
I joke with my partner because I say, you know, guys go, yeah, I really think she's quite cute, TV star.
She
lives in America. And I go, yeah, if she walked into Auckland Airport, I'd be in.
And
my partner's like, yeah, you go with that.
She goes,
women are more realistic. We go, yeah, he's cute, but I'm never going to meet him.
No,
and it's the whole thing. You put people up on a pedestal.
You put them up so high.
They fan people, and then they get obsessed, and then they don't know how to break that. TV stars. Or even Shortland Street actors.
It's more prevalent now. Because people become instant famous. They can become instant famous, and
for doing nothing.
There's a way to quantify it too.
You're famous, bro.
For opening boxes.
That guy's got 100 million viewer thingies, and then goes famous, and goes, what has he done? He put his finger in his ear
or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, probably watch that.
That's what people want, bro. Yeah, yeah. That's what people want.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Bring back the real, you know.
You don't like putting your finger in your ear, do you?
I love it, but I'm not going to film it. I'll erase my data on that.
You never know when you pull your finger out what might follow.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, please subscribe. I've got some wax on this one.
It's like one of those Shrek moments.
Yeah, man.
Well, I just watched Horrible Histories with my 10-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine. Mm, yeah. And he used to take snot, earwax.
Yeah, all the vials. Yeah.
And then taste them.
Yeah.
To see what happened. I mean, I'm glad we moved on from that.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody had to do it.
I've got this boil just here. Yeah.
Wait, let me just taste
lick
that.
That's the agent.
I really need to know what it tastes like to diagnose you. If you could lift your shirt there.
Nowadays it says, you're allowed a chaperone in the room.
Yeah.
I don't want no doctor licking my wart. But anyway.
For that reason.
He's like, I've got a cold. Why are you licking my ass? I don't think that's the way to...
No.
Branching off in some
way. Moving on.
The show and the show. What we're here for.
So, it's a funny tangent there.
Let's talk about you guys for a bit. Yeah, okay, yeah. So you didn't start out being a rap artist because you learned it last year, which I find fascinating. I just assumed you guys were like, yeah, we'll do a rap musical because we're really proficient at rap. But where'd you come from? I mean, what's your background? How did you become, you said you're an actor before you're a director.
Oh,
what was your journey?
Oh, I started my acting for program that was called Best Training for school leavers.
Oh yeah,
and it turned into PEPA,
Ireland Performing Arts School.
Yeah, which
is closed down.
I'm sad about that, but
awful.
My dream would be to open it up again.
Yeah,
got to keep the dreams alive. But yeah, just did that, and then I just for a process of giving stuff a go, went to Unitech to do the bachelor's. I just kept falling through this. Falling forward, I'll do one thing and the next.
So school, go back to school. You're at school.
Yeah, man. School was a bit of a strange one, eh? I actually got into acting by accident.
Yeah, tell us that story.
Yeah, because since I went to this, youth course, I was usually for people that, didn't have a place to go.
Mm.
And I was either that or work in the fisheries or scrub floors.
Mm.
And my dad was working in the fisheries and he goes, you got to do something. I was like, oh, better look in the Western Leader for something. And then just fell into that way. And my tutor at the time, this dude, Henry Toipia, just went, oh, I think you're good at this. You could actually give it a go. I was like, it's not for people like us. And he goes, don't do that. Okay.
So why did you think that? Why did you think it wasn't for you?
Because I guess it didn't reflect what I saw, What I saw out there wasn't a Rarotongan Singaporean actor doing his thing. So I thought I'd be the first.
Isn't that the truth, though? Because kids look on the screen.
Yeah, man.
It's the sad thing, I think, about what kids see online. You don't see enough diversity online.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Enough people reflecting themselves. So kids go, well, I'll never get there.
Supposed to play rugby or something like that, So I'm like, I can't play rugby. I've got gumpy feet.
Yeah.
And it's cold and wet and it's Saturday morning. Why would you get out and roll in the mud?
I'd rather be an artist,
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was one of those buses. Being an artist rolling the muds,
Yeah, well, that's a different thing. You get paid lots of money.
Some real fancy hall or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, give me money, thank you.
Did you enjoy school?
No, not really. No. Also, hanging out with people that are doing hip-hop back in the day, there's rapping, breaking. But it wasn't really for me until I found this youth program, And then that gave me a way to... I guess converse with my inner voice a little bit better.
And how are your family with you? Your dad said to go, get out and do something.
I guess they're on and off. As long as I'm busy, they're fine. As long as I can put food on the table, roof over my head, I guess they're pretty good with it at times. But
because it's not easy in Aotearoa surviving, is it?
Yeah, because my perspective is it's like where I come from is get a job. Rather than a career.
Yeah.
So if you got a job, that's it. I'm done with just getting a job. I want to build a legacy. So that's my buzz. Yeah.
Kia ora. Good on you. Ravi.
Hey.
So school for you?
I just went on to. I actually have mixed feelings about school. I really love drama at school. My last year of high school, remember bunking all my other classes and just going and sitting in the drama room and just performing just for no one in the back room.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I just loved it. I just wanted to do that. And then my high school teacher was like,
get out of my classroom.
Yeah.
She was like, a trespass order.
She was like,
go here. Look, yeah. Man.
It's 7:30 at night.
Robbie, you're still here.
Robbie, go home. She was like, you know what, man, you got something here, like, go and have a go. And so she signed me up for this thing called Auckland Theatre Company Summer School.
Mm.
And it was like this 1 week program, and we did Rhinoceros.
Absurdist play?
Yeah, Absurdist play Rhinoceros. Yeah. And I think that's the UNESCO as well.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And I had a ball, man. We started on Monday, we performed on Sunday, and I don't know, I just put my heart and soul into it. And then from there, I kind of just got really lucky. I got this next gig, Auckland Theatre Company's next big thing. We did Giant Teeth. That one was a hit. And people saw me in that, and they were like, yo, man, we want you. We want you to do some more stuff. And, yeah, I just got mostly all of my training through just doing theatre shows.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I have no regrets, man. I love every moment of it, and it's really because of that woman there, Lee Sykes. Shout out to Lee Sykes. That I'm here today.
What school?
Rutherford College, out in Te Aroha Peninsula. Mm-hmm. West is best. Never forget, guys. West is best.
Avondale. Yeah. Best.
But yeah, I don't know. School was weird, man. I'm the kind of person that doesn't really put an effort unless I really like what I'm doing.
Yep.
And
oh, so you seem to be enjoying the show.
Yeah.
For us.
My schooling life was very hit and miss, because if I didn't like the teacher, I wouldn't pay attention. If I didn't like the subject, I wouldn't pay attention.
Yeah.
But if I really did like it, I'd get excellence every time, man. Like, I'd just put my heart and soul into it.
Is it not standard with most people, though?
Yeah.
What's wrong with our education system is we force kids to do stuff they hate.
Yeah, in a way.
And then they're going to be set up to fail.
And you're like,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You have to get X amount of credits in physics, even though you know that you're going to be a musician. Like,
don't get me started on that.
What's the point, man? What's the point?
Wasting brain space. Yeah. What's the point? Love.
Yeah.
Many years ago when I was at high school, seriously, I got to drop science at the end of fourth form, because I said, I'm not going to do science. I don't like science.
Yeah.
I want to be an actor. I knew then I want to be an actor at 14, and that was it. And I fought, and they said, yep, okay, you can do that. And my science teacher, I got a detention for this, my science teacher said to me when I came back and we were talking about it, he goes, Mr. Power, I still remember him, he said...
What a name, eh?
Mr. Power. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said, what happens if you play Ernest Rutherford? And I said, I'll read the bloody script.
Yeah.
Don't you swear at me, detention.
Yeah,
but that's it, you know, we box these kids. They have to do... Yep. I think every child should do English, because literacy is the foundation.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A little bit of English, a little bit of math.
Yep.
Yeah. A little bit of
Math.
I could make an argument for it.
Yeah, I could too. Okay, here's a theatre story. I'm directing a play. I'm building a rostra. It's circular. The guy said to me, how big is it? And I went, geez, I wish I'd remember what the formula was for measuring a circle. So you're right, math is quite important.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But if you leave school and you walk into acting work, is that how it kind of works?
Well, it was like I left school and then I got to do a lot of youth programs. Like my first year out of high school, I just tried to get as many youth shows as I could, because when you're starting out, I would recommend experience is stronger than being paid. Right. And that's just where I was at.
To a point,
of course. Like, don't get me wrong. If you're going to get paid, get paid.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, that first year, I think I only got paid, I think, like, $350 for the whole year of acting that I did. But because
it's a dollar a week.
Yeah, right? A dollar a day, man.
A dollar a day.
We're living. Yeah. We're living mad life.
Making it rain-ish.
But now, like, I'm at a point where I'm making money for almost every show that I do now.
Cool.
You know? So don't be afraid to say, yeah, I'll do the show for nothing.
Yeah.
Because, and even then, those are the shows that you probably learn the most from.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's me. Nice. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
No.
Yeah. School was school for me.
Are you Auckland raised, all of you?
I'm West.
No, I grew up in Rotorua.
I just had a great time in Rotorua the last couple.
Yeah, it's great. It's a lovely place. Love it. Yeah. I didn't have a bad time. It was fine, you know. But I'd sort of just coasted through a lot of it. It was that classic on every kind of report card was shows a lot of potential. That sort of thing always came back, and it was mainly because I just couldn't be bothered applying myself. But I certainly avoided the arts like crazy. Not because I hated it, it's just because it just didn't pop up in my radar. I was doing a lot more sports orientated things, and then I really enjoyed sciences, so I did a lot of that too. And it wasn't until about in my seventh form year that one of my friends, who is a really good actor, he just asked me what my acting skills were like, and I told him I could pull off a convincing sickie, and then he goes, you'll do. And then he put me in a show, and then we
at
ended
the school?
Up, no, it was through another company called Creative Communications. Shout out to Pam Moore, who was the overlord of this thing, and she arranged a tour that went out to. It was a health and safety tour. It was about drugs and stuff, and the effect of drugs on forestry workers.
Right.
So we took this show to huge burly men.
Nice.
Out into the wavernesses and stuff.
That's a testing ground.
Yeah. And that was my first taste of acting. Mm. It was professional. It was a professional gig.
Yeah.
And it was actually where I met the founder of YT Productions, which is our company, Sian, Elise White. Mm. We did our first show together, our first professional show together, and we toured that for a while, and that was really, really cool. But I remember Pam saying to me, have you ever thought of doing this? And I said, nope. And then she goes, you should consider it. Consider going to Toi Whakaari. And I went, great. And then I never did. And then I just carried on with life and got into other shows and just kept doing amateur shows and stuff just purely for fun.
For fun.
Yeah. And I loved it. Mm. I loved it. I had a good time, did a few musicals, did a few dramas.
What musicals did you do?
I did Buddy Holly. I was Richie Valens. I did High School Musical. I was the Afro.
I can picture that dude as Chad, like basketball
Chad.
Yeah.
The Afro.
Sorry.
The Afro. It's just an Afro with feet walking around.
Yeah.
You remember that character from High School?
Oh, yeah, the Afro.
Black cousin it. Yeah. did a few of those and then decided to take it seriously and moved down to Wellington and went to performing arts school.
Nice.
Yeah. And then got gigs out of that and was just really lucky. Just super lucky, super fortunate to be in the right place at the right time, to meet the right people. And they kept hiring me, which was cool.
Mm.
And then I moved here and no one hired me for a while.
Why did you move to Auckland?
Change of scenery.
Yeah.
Because
Wellington's strong on theatre.
Yeah, Wellington's lovely. Mm. But to be fair, a lot of my work that I was doing in Wellington was outside of Wellington. I was just based there,
right?
So it's not like I got caught up in the Wellington scene. And actually that's kind of what happened here too. I moved up here, and for a year I pretty much devoted to doing workshops to try and be a better actor, to get amongst all the cool people that I needed to. The next year I did another touring show and kind of just been in and out of theatres since.
Supportive family?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not entirely sure they understand what it is, but none of them have ever said you need to stop this. Get an adult job. Air quotes again, an adult job. None of them were like that. Especially my mum, she was just like, okay, cool, this is what you want to do. You're doing it. Sweet.
Are you the same, Ravi? Did you?
Not really, eh? it's taken a lot of effort. My dad really did from day one. But my dad's a whole different box of frogs. But my mum, who I live with, she was really against it to begin with, actually. I remember once at high school she told me I wasn't allowed to take drama. My mum actually used to pick my classes. And I remember in my last year of high school I took
physics, chemistry, statistics, calculus, and drama.
Drama
to keep you safe.
I can see why you're in there.
Yeah.
With that lineup, I would have been in the drama room, not performing. I would have been rocking in the corner.
It's been a war with my mum really to get her to really appreciate what I'm doing. But we're at a point now where I'm like, I got a drama thing on, and she's like, okay, go and kill it.
Cool.
And
that's me.
Yeah. Last year she like started to come around. Actually, I did the show called Call of the Sparrows. And she came and saw it, and what she said to the writer after the show, she was like, you know, I'm starting to see why Ravi likes this. And so she's like, slowly, nice. Like, it's been
a while.
4 years, but we're finally at the point where we're moving forward together, you know.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So cool. I'm really vibing it. Yeah.
Would, if you had children,
yeah,
would you want them to be in the performing arts?
I think
I would like them to understand it and, you know, be involved, but if it's not their path,
I want them to do is express themselves.
If they wanted to be an actor?
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
you support them 100%?
100%. Yeah, how
you wouldn't discard, say it's really hard. You're going to earn
$300.
1 year, you might only earn $300.
Yeah. I'll be real with them. You know? I'll be
paid in hats.
But I got them, man.
Paid in hats?
Oh, it's a great story. I have this hat. A shout out to Tiger Burger for this one.
Good old TV.
My one of my friends' name is Douglas Shepherd. His brothers own Tiger Burger, and this is a while ago, when they were still a stall at Silo Park. They need an extra person to help cover their like Silo Park shift. It was 12 hours, and they were like, "Ravi, can you please help us?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, I'll come and help you. We'll do it." And they paid me in a shirt and a hat.
Okay. 12-hour shift.
12-hour shift. Well, it's like my 12-hour hat, bro.
So one thing actors need to learn is how to negotiate.
Yeah, man.
And always
well, I don't
negotiate.
Think actors. I think just Ravi needs to learn.
And negotiate.
Get some shoes, bro.
Yeah. Next time, get shoes. Yeah. Right.
Well, hell, next time, get a burger.
Yeah. Oh no. Don't get me wrong. I did get to eat some food, but like, I love that hat, man.
It's worth 12 hours of hard work. Do you think people have an expectation that you're going to work for nothing for projects? Do you get approached a lot
Some.
Hey, look, I've got no money. Can you do it?
It's like
that for years, man.
Yeah, like, you get the... Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Like, most of my acting career, 90% of it from 18 to 33 was freebies. Freebies, you know, like just doing it for the love. But then when the love is like, they know you're going to just do it anyway.
Yeah, that's not love, man.
Yeah, that's not love. You're like, wait, you got a budget and you got this. And I could see, I'm...
I never accept anything nowadays if people are like, we'll pay you an exposure. That's a red flag for me. Cool, see ya.
You see that a lot actually on things like The Big Idea. We have no budget, but it'll be good for your career and we'll feed you.
Like, don't get me wrong, like I like helping friends do stuff. I can do that. Or to be honest, if it's something that I come across and I really dig, then I'm like, cool, okay, because I feel growth in that. Like, I can you know, grow as an actor or grow as a performer or whatever.
Yeah.
But if it's just some casual person just going, oh, hey, yeah, but we'll pay you an exposure. I'm like, oh,
no.
Yeah, I already did my year of exposure, guys.
and
10 years of that.
Yeah, and you got 5 to life for that. But
Bam!
Really, I mean, the last 3 gigs I've done have been free, but I've chosen to do them because I love the project.
Exactly. That's
it.
Yeah.
And you choose those projects and go, actually, I'm going to do this.
Yeah,
I also,
man.
Recommendation to anyone who wants a career in the arts, any part of the arts, and marry someone who's got a real job.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
That's what I've done. Shout out to Imogen. Dr. Imogen Bassett.
Oh.
Love you, darling. Right. Love you, darling.
A true hero.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's and two actors living together. You know, we've had people on the show and they're both actors and they struggle.
Yeah.
Two could be out of work.
Yeah.
Totally. What do you do, man?
What do? You work for Tiger Burger.
You jump in and they pay you in hats and shirts, bro.
Well, hey, at least you're going to be cold. Or
yeah,
naked.
Right.
So, and
I mean, it's good because they're giving you something, but if someone just takes your art and gives you nothing.
Exactly.
You
know,
like if there's a mutual kind of like, okay, we exposure, quote unquote, or they've given you something or just made you feel good, you know, comfortable or held. Man, I'll do it again.
I feel for musicians who get hit up all the time to play for their
cousins,
uncle's wedding. Could you bring your band along? Yeah, sure. We'll feed you and give you a tab.
It's like, or a box.
We'll give you a box.
Yeah, and you're like,
beers for afterwards. Yeah. Because we actually, we don't need to drink anymore because that's all we do because we play in pubs. Yeah. But it is sad for artists, it's generally, you know.
Yeah.
And we have to change the culture of thinking.
Yeah, man.
That artists,
you want to pay a bill to exposure, man.
Yeah, like, yeah. No other profession gets paid in exposure.
Yeah,
hey, mate, my cousin, the plumber, it's Richard here. My pipes are burst. Yeah. I can't pay you, but I'll tell everyone that you did the job.
Yeah. I'll let everyone know that you are great.
And I'll feed you.
Yeah,
because that's the big one, eh? I'll feed you seems to be the...
I actually really like it when people tell me they're going to feed me. Sometimes I'm like,
feed someone.
Thank you.
Yep. And now it's time for you guys to feed us some information about the season because we're coming
running
up to
running out of time.
So you guys...
Man, we've been jamming for ages.
Yeah.
It's mean.
It is. Yeah. It's been a great night. Great conversation, guys. And we've still got a bit of time to go. But before we forget... Let's do some shameless promotion.
Let's do it.
So tell us about the show. Tell us about what characters you play, where people can get tickets, when the season and where it's on, all that stuff. Put on your marketing Tiger Burger hats.
Yeah, bro.
And let's go. Let's go. Oh, he's wearing
it.
But
it's got a burger on it.
Yeah,
it's got a burger on
it. How awesome.
I'm going to have to get a photo of that to put on our Facebook page.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah. So who's going to...
Okay, let's see if I can put that hat on for a bit.
Okay, I'll give you... We're in the basement.
Yes.
It's on the from the 14th to the 25th of August. Come on down. Don't be a square. Get your tickets as soon as you can, mate.
Bring your mates.
Yeah. It's a real good time. Everyone. It's going to be awesome.
Heaps of swearing, so you'll like it.
Tickets you can get from iticket.co.nz. Or on our Facebook page, YT Productions. Mm-hmm. Just look that up on Facebook. There's all the links. We've got an event going at the moment through Facebook, so get on that. It's the easiest way to find out.
iTicket is where you get the tickets from.
So
And share our page.
Like and share the page, please. Help us promote us.
Just some little guys trying to get it.
Character stuff. I play two characters, Jamal and his dad, Mr. Raju. Jamal is a 17-year-old kid from high school, from Lytton High School. He just wants to be an MC because he thinks it's real cool. It's a real good way. It's an outlet for him. It's a real... it's something that he's never had that allows him to express himself in a way that he's never been given, you know, because he's in this constructed environment, which is what it's like to grow up in most cases as a Indian kid, in my opinion. Got all this expectation that's thrust onto us from our families. And then his dad is that embodiment of expectation, but also like an embodiment of an older generation that has to face all sorts of racism that was just given to them because they were there. You know? And he... And the way he deals with that is this, his arc and his story is the way that he deals with what he's given. So those are my characters.
And only wanting so much better for their kids. Wanting for their kids.
Yeah, all from love.
Like fear, this love. Fear that's driven from, like, I need to protect. The fear of not being able to protect.
Sweet.
And I play Kiwa Bolton. Is the story is based on him. And he is your really typical 17-year-old, you know, last year at high school and stuff, and loves rap, but he gripped onto hip hop because of there being a lack of him being able to connect to his own culture, mainly because of that sense of oppression that's been kept. And that keeps him down or keeps Maritanga down, so he doesn't know what to do with that, but he latched onto something else and really took the, especially Tupac Shakur, that is a huge idol for him, and so he takes to rap to be able to express himself in a way that wasn't possible before. But he knows that there are things that are wrong. He can see it, like anybody, like everybody. He can see it. He can see that there is that amount of injustice around, and he doesn't know why. And then he sees the relationship between Māori and what he knows of Māori, and also black Americans and what they go through and their stuff. He knows that they're so similar, which is why that's his closest in with his own Māori tanga side. And he's best friends with with Jamal and stuff. So there's a cool rivalry slash amazing amount of love between those two, because the
brotherhood.
They are brothers, you know. And then so it's his life and what he and how he tackles everything and how he tackles those. That small snippet, but on a daily basis.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's every day, it doesn't go
absolutely,
away.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Like,
the things that you live
for real
with.
For him. Yeah.
Sounds and like a many. Phenomenal piece. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I have to some time to go along and catch it. What's it called? Oh, goodness, is it time for tea?
I'm not angry at anyone.
Yeah. But, so where does the title come from?
It's a Tupac Shakur song.
Yeah, it's a Tupac song.
There you go. I didn't know that. You learned something. If I'd known that, I could have played it. As we go out, but actually what I want to do to go out is play Next to Nothing, because you mentioned that before we go. I just want to say thank you so much, guys, for coming in.
Can I do another shameless promo?
Yeah.
My brother's creating his own album. He's writing his own rap. He's on SoundCloud. And please listen up to him. He goes by Lil Curry, but we're going to try and reprise the name because I think it's kind of lame. his name's Prasen Gurunathan. Look him up, please.
Yeah, Prasen.
How about this? How about you hook him up to come on to Kick Arts?
When his album sounds comes good.
We'll play some songs and
he was in
a
studio today recording some of it.
Nice.
There you go.
Your mum's got an actor and a musician.
Oh, it's my stepbrother.
Oh, stepbrother?
Okay. Yeah. It's on my dad's side, but.
Oh, God.
He's loving it, man.
I didn't know.
Yeah. It's okay. All right. That's my shameless promo.
Sorry, Ma. Well, you guys, it's awesome that you're doing this again. And hey, look, you know what you could do is you could take it on tour to Te Rāwhiti, Gisborne.
There are definitely plans. Because myself, Tareen, and also Sian, we're from Rotorua as well. So we're planning to, the idea is to at some point take it through to Rotorua, take it through to Gisborne, and get it to those places. That's designed to be toured.
Simple. And how long's the show?
70 minutes.
Yeah,
give or take. Yeah, a couple of minutes.
65.
Oh,
no, good night.
72.
On a good night. Well,
72 on a bad night.
72 when we're being really self-indulgent.
Yeah. 72 when you got the milk me pants on.
Got this guy here just going, hey, guys, speed it up, you know. Be my polite notes.
What's
the milk? I'm not even going to ask.
Don't ask about the milk me pants. That's for another day. We're out of time for that one.
Thanks, mate.
So, Soul Chef, off the album Foreign Affairs. This is Next to Nothing. And that's our show tonight. Not sure what I was going to say there, but that's another exciting episode of Kick Arts. For another week, we'll be back next week. We've got some exciting shows coming up. Get out and see this show. It sounds fantastic. I'm really looking forward to having a look at it. Thanks, guys. It's been a brilliant show. I'm looking forward to listening back. Don't forget, we're going to be having this posted on our Facebook page tomorrow, the link to the show and all the information that you need to get some tickets and go and see it. And also, we're going to make sure that Ravi's hat is in the shot. You can check that out. That'd be good. And we'll also, I think I'll do, see if I can do a link to Soul Chef as well.
Yes. Because thank you. That'd be cool.
Thanks, Soul Chef, for letting us play your music on the show. It's really good. I really love it. It's fantastic. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Don't forget, if you want to come on the show, we don't do show listings. If someone else sends me another, can you please just talk about our show? No, you come and talk about your show. Get yourself in here. We want to know about you, what you do behind the arts, not just a list of a show. There's so much going on in Auckland. And tell us about what you're doing, because that is what makes the arts work. It's the people behind the arts, not just a name on a program. So that's the way it goes, eh?
Hell yeah.
Hope you guys have enjoyed yourselves.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we, KickArts1, that's KickArts1 at Gmail is the address you can email us on. And with that, I've been Richard Green. I've been your host. I'll be back next week with Georgia. She'll be returning. She's at her uncle's birthday. Family is important. Go out there this week.
Howdy, hooties,
and kick some arts.
Trust me when I tell you that this is not a joke. They had their moment, can't wait till mumbling rap is gone. More than the puppets, I wonder who actually pulls the ropes. Reality, television, internet, cellular phones. This is where I call my homies back home. That be sending me texts saying I see your boy, the moment's on. Dead writing, there's nothing that's more important to me. And it's a matter of time before the real ride.